God's power. I was greatly blessed tonight, just before I came to the meeting, well, about 4 o'clock this afternoon. I was talking to Elaine. Well, no one knows Elaine. Well, I don't know whether anyone knows Elaine, but she's a Greek Cypriot, a sister that I've known now for over 20 years. She's been my prayer partner when I was at Chesterfield, and we've continued to be so since I left Chesterfield. And I left Chesterfield in 2017. But she rang me up today to tell me there's something going on in Leicester. I think the church is called Chura. But they've traced back over the years, right back to John Wesley, that he visited Leicester and said God would do something in Leicester. And down through the years, things have happened. And I can remember when I was 18, it's a long time ago. A long, long time ago. There was a campaign in Leicester by a man called Valdez from America. And he went to pray for a young woman that had to go in an iron lung. She had polio. In those days, you put them in iron lungs. I've never seen one, but they reckon they're horrendous things. And you're in up to your neck. And they do it to do with breathing. And he went in and prayed for her. She never went back in that iron lung. God instantly healed her. But something's going on in Leicester now. There's a move of God's Spirit in Leicester that's absolutely baffling the other churches around. This particular church, God is moving in a really wonderful way. And as he's traced back, people have asked, where's Leicester? The people across in America were praying. One man in America was praying. He gave me the name of it and gave me the date, because unfortunately I didn't know this was going on, so I didn't bring it. But he was saying, there's a place in England called Leicester. I can't find it on the map. He says, but that God's told me he's going to move. And things are happening there. And at this moment in time, they believe that God is starting breaking out in revival. From a practical point of view, they were 5,000-1 to win the premiership, and they won it. Now that's and they said it was God's favour, and they're starting to see God move in a mighty way. People are getting saved, as far as things are happening in this particular church. And I think they call it Chura Church. But Laney was talking about it, and I said, well, I can remember. Actually, the Assemblies of God Church was started through that lady being healed. And Les Botham, who used to be a cousin of Kath's, he actually pioneered the work there. And there was a very big work going there for a long, long time in Leicester. I don't know what state it's in at this moment of time, but I know when he was there, there were people being saved and blessed. And then it's gone from me, but recently, again, I remember something that was happening in Leicester. Let me say, God is at work and God is moving. I want to have that eyesight that sees beyond the natural. You know, I want to see the unseen. I want to know what God's about. Because I believe that when we see what he's about, we'll start moving in the supernatural. I believe God's doing something amongst us. He's changing things. He's turning things around. He's bringing things into being that weren't. Something that was not, he's bringing it into being. You see, how God can make something out of nothing. You say, oh, I can't do much. I'm not very good. I can only do a little bit. But you do your little bit and let him do his big bit. Together we'll get the job done. But let me say to you that there's something moving in Leicester. At this moment, the other thing was, I can't remember the chap's name. His wife was called Beryl Gypsy. He used to live on the Gypsy site at Arksey. But I used to go and give them Bible study. It was after you left, I think. I used to go and give them Bible study. Well, that was a learning curve, because you couldn't talk to them like I could talk to you, because they just would. Well, I said to one of them, "You've got a ministry," and he said, "What's one of them?" You ain't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. But when I started going to give Bible study to them, he used to sit in the kitchen and he used to do his thing in the kitchen. Then I found out he was sitting in the hallway. Then he was sitting outside the front room door, listening to what was going on. Then he actually came to Bentley, and he got saved. But about 1985, 86, he went to look after a huge travellers' church that had been established in Leicester. So God's doing something, friends. Let's not be blinded by what the enemy does or what the enemy thinks he's doing. I believe that we've got to go see beyond him and see that what the Lord is doing. And as we move in that realm, as it's already been said tonight, as we work together, I didn't know Steve, but I know him a lot better now because I've worked alongside him. And you see, one of the things that was said about the Babel situation, when God had to come down and bring confusion, or else they'd have accomplished what they set out to be, because they spoke the same thing, because they worked at the same purpose, because they were together, they got to know one another. And when we get to know each other, we can love each other, we can be part of one another's lives. I mean, Pauline, I didn't know. I knew about her, but I didn't know much. Never really spoken to her till I came here. And that one, coming here, was a miracle because I came to a funeral. And that was the start of the Lord working in my life to bring me into this fellowship. And I appreciate every one of you. And because we're together in God, let's make sure we stick together. Because if God hadn't brought confusion, it said there is nothing they could not do, and in God there's nothing we can't do. God can do the impossible. Amen.
Really, really encouraging. I'm ready for it. I'm just longing to see it. One move of God and everything changes, doesn't it? And that's what we need to be looking for. He's looking for people who are expectant. And I think there's been so much these past 18 months to drag us down and to keep us looking at the impossible and at the natural, that we forget to lift our eyes and look beyond that and see what God wants to do and hear what he wants to do. And I was really encouraged this morning by Word for Today, the story of Cyprian. And it really blessed me. For those of you who didn't read it, it was a wealthy noble who lived during the 3rd century. And he enjoyed galloping around Carthage in his gold and bejeweled chariot. He wore fancy clothes, studded with diamonds and precious stones, and lived a debauched life. In a letter to one of the Christian theologians of the time, Cyprian said he couldn't possibly conceive how he could change his life, the life he had lived for so long. The inveterate habits, tastes and desires that he had developed, the sins he clutched to his bosom, how could he possibly ever give these things up? How could he ever become like the Christians he saw? He said it seemed to him to be an utterly impossible thing. Yet, in the mysterious providence and grace of God, that which seemed utterly impossible came to pass. And Cyprian was transformed. God reached down and took out of Cyprian's breast that stony heart and placed it within him, a heart of flesh, a heart tuned to love his God and sing his praises. And he became one of the great Christian leaders of the early church. He said that before, that what God did seemed utterly impossible and a total mystery and difficult to understand. But now, after the new birth, he was revolutionized. And I was just so encouraged by that. We've got to look at the impossible, not at what we see. We have a God of the impossible. What he's promised, he will do. And we were encouraging somebody very recently about believing and standing and being persistent and not running away from a situation, but staying in there and watch God move. And they were saying, well, it's totally impossible. Everybody says, I'm wasting my time. It's totally impossible. And we said, well, what has God said? Well, there's this, 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 and this that tells me it's impossible. No, but what's God said? well, everything's against me, it's impossible. No, what's God said? And we were getting no answers. And this morning I couldn't resist it, but I had to take a photograph of it and send it to them and say, read this and get it in your spirit that we have a God who's the God of the impossible, and let's start looking at the impossible and believe him and not on what we see. So I was really blessed and encouraged. God is mighty. And yesterday I was reading about the Tower of Babel, and I had to laugh because in the message it said, God turned Babel to Babel. And I thought, that's just the contempt that God threw at it and said, yes, you can do all your planning. You can think you're great and mighty, but one from me and you're snuffed out. It's all a load of babble and rubbish. And, you know, we look at, oh, this is going off, that's going off, but what's going to happen? This is going to stop. We're going to be stopped doing this and that and the other. No, we're not. God's in charge. And revival is coming, I know that for a fact. And it will be as God said. And I'm encouraged, David, by Lester. And I say, God, let's join them ranks. And do it here, God. Do it here as you've promised. Amen.
Yeah, and I had to find out a bit more about this guy. And he only lived till he was 58. Because at 58, the Catholic Church put him to death. Because he stood on his faith. He had several arguments with the so-called popes at the time. Strangely enough, one of the popes at that time was called Stephen. But at that time, it was in the year 258 that he was put to death. But just before that time, there was a period when the church was under real persecution. And people had to sign away their faith. They had to sign away to say, no, they weren't going to believe in the Lord. They weren't going to be Christians. And the argument with the Pope was about these people coming back to the Lord when the period of persecution had finished. And the Pope was saying, it's not right, it's not right. And this guy whose name I can't pronounce, Cyprian. He's saying, well, you can come back to the Lord. And of course we can. And but his faith, he stood by his faith, and they finally put him to death. That's the Catholic Church that did that. I don't know if you've heard of a bloke called Derek Prince. You heard him on the radio. Because I know you listen to... He's great, Derek Prince. I know there are a lot of TV evangelists that we wonder about, but this guy is spot on. He's absolutely great. If you get a chance to listen to him or read his books, Derek Prince, he's very good. And he's recently been talking from Titus chapter 3, which has been really, really, really good. He's talking about what we are as Christians and believers. And you know, the world's in a mess. It's in a mess because of sin. Not because of the Lord. And the truth of it is that actually the world is in the hands of the Lord, and we just need to trust in him. And we are Christians because, or we are children of God because of what Jesus did for us, which is just fantastic. And he was just going and reading Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And what we've done, it looks as though it's a bit of a mess, doesn't it? But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's fantastic. You know, the world's in a mess, but the Lord has saved us. And there was also somebody talking about, well, why has he picked us? Why is it me? Why is it you that the Lord has chosen? I don't know why. But thank God that he did, you know. And then the next verse, it just says that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's where I slip in that word expectation, the expectation of eternal life. Not the, oh, I hope you're well, that sort of hope, but an expectation that we're heirs of God. And that's just unbelievable. It's the wrong word, I know, but it's just immense to know that this God who made everything, the universe, right down to the tiniest insect, he knows me, he knows you. And we're his sons. It's just, and we're heirs with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, yeah. So if you get a chance to listen to Derek Prince on the radio, he's good, he's really good. Preaches the word, yeah.
Amen. I had got the scripture, and this kind of confirms what David and Steve and Grace just said as well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Here the author writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Amen. But I love the fact that he starts with saying, "Trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We might have this understanding of what the next season might look like for us. We might have this understanding what the next chapter in life God might have for us. But what if our understanding of what God has for us is not actually what God has for us? What if maybe we are limiting the hand of God and we are putting the move of God in this little box and limiting ourselves in terms of how God wants us to move, how God wants us to operate? You know, I was really challenged at the fact these last few weeks. I've been really meditating the word, and I've been really seeking God in terms of, God, what's next? In other words, God, what is it that you have for me this year? You know, what's that one thing that you want me to hold on to for this year? And this is why, God, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because, you know, we can have all these ideas, we can have all these strategies, we can have all these plans of what we'd like to do, what we'd like to see happening in the church, in our life, in our world. But God has something different for us, amen? And it's bigger than what we have in our minds and what we have in our heads. And I love the fact that it goes on to say, in all your ways, not just one way, but all your ways. And it's tough, you know, to trust him in all our ways, because we like to have a little bit of control. We like to have a little bit of part to play in the things what we, you know, do. But the Lord says, hey, listen, just trust me. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it get to you. You know, just trust me. And he says, and he will make your paths straight. See, we try to make our paths straight. But as Steve said from the scripture, and Grace and David highlighted it as well, our ways don't work. You know, it don't work. I've tried my ways, it don't work. You know, and I try plan A, plan B, plan C, plan C. It don't work, then I need to go back to plan God. Amen? And God has a plan for us. You see, but the main thing that we need to do this year is we have to trust him. You know, I don't know what your year might have been last year. You might have had a year of disappointment. You might have had a year of discouragement. You might have had a year of grief. You might have a year of sorrow. You might have a year of rejoicing. You might have had a year of transformation. You might have had a year of rest, refreshing. I don't know, whatever your year might have been like this last year. This year, expect more. Amen? Not in the sense of negativeness, but in the sense of this year is going to be a year of Jubilee, amen. This year is going to be a year of prospering. This year is going to be a year of breakthrough. This year is going to be a year of revival in our lives, amen. God's going to revive us. I really felt that. I was like, God, you know, I'm bringing all these prayers to God, and God's like, hey, my timing, my way, just trust me. I've got good things in store for you. You know, and that's the word for each and every one of us. Let's trust God, because he had good things in store for us. And I was, and as we continue to read it, he says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." If we think we're wise, do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, a wise person never thinks himself wise. That's what the scripture says, and it says, "Fear the Lord and shun evil." See, Andrew's been talking about fear these last few weeks about, you know, the fear of the world and all media and everything and all the things that fear does in our hearts. But the Bible tells us that there's one fear, which is a healthy fear, and that's fearing the Lord. Fear God. Don't fear what men might think of you. Fear God. Fear the fact that, you know, He sees everything. Fear the fact that... But this is healthy fear. You know, in a sense, when you're a kid and if you do something bad, you know, you're going to be disciplined for it. But, you know, in the sense that discipline will do you good. So that fear stops you from doing a lot of bad things. And this is the same fear. That fear stops us from turning back to sin. And this will help us to stay and remain in this path that God has for us. And this is the word that God, this will bring health to your body. Amen. This will bring health to your body. You know, we know the scripture. And the scripture is always true. The scripture is always refreshing. The scripture is always powerful. And it says it will bring health to your body. And not only that, but it will bring nourishment to your bones. Amen. And I'd like that for this year. Amen. I'd like that for this year. Although there's been a few things, you know, that might have tried to knock us off. Even as we entered this year. But hold on to this truth. You know, this year is going to be a year where the scripture will be our core scripture. That the word of God will bring health to our body. Amen. No weapon will prosper. And nourishment to your bones. But that's what I got for this year. And I was like, beginning there, I'm thinking, God. And it was just simple. Just trust me. Trust me. Just don't overthink. Just trust me. I'm thinking about, but God, you know, I want to see church packed with people. I'm bringing all these things to God. And God's like, hey, just trust me. I've got good things in store. Trust me. I've got good things in store. So when you're facing disappointment, just trust God. Because He's got good things in store. Amen. If you're struggling with something right now, trust God. He's got good things in store. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Amen.
I've still got the Living Bible tucked in my Bible case there from last Sunday. And what Daniel was just saying, it says, don't be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord, and turn your back on evil. When you do that, then you will be given renewed health and vitality. Hallelujah. Praise His God. It goes on to say then in verses 9 and 10, honour the Lord, give Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns with wheat and barley, and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. And I believe if we, as we honour the Lord in every way, not just in finances, but everything, first fruits, give Him our first, give Him our best effort, our best time. If we do that, and we honour God, we'll see God standing with us, we'll see His presence with us, taking us through, moving us through into a greater relationship. God is investing in people to be winners. That's God's investment. Winners, not losers. And God is for us, not against us. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. But so often, we seek to run ahead of God. Daniel sort of said, you know, God said, well, we so often we're running, trying to run ahead. We hear a word from God and we think, oh, right, I'm off. God's told you that because he said, you didn't hear the next bit. He said, I want you to get ready for that. We just ran off. And that's what's happening today. I don't know which God they're serving. The God that we serve always marries up to the book. You know, we need to stand on his word and stand on the promises. And the Bible doesn't say run ahead of God. It says wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He's told you something to get you ready for something. Now wait on him, because you and I are not the ones who make it happen. Sometimes we think we do, but wait on the Lord, because he is the one who will make it happen. But Lord, you know, look at time, Lord. Look at what year it is. Look how old I am. God's timing is perfect. Wait on the Lord and just follow him. That's what we need to. And this year, 2022, waiting, following the Lord. When he moves, you move. Don't try to preempt God. Because what happens is you bring something to birth that is premature. And then it may need to go into isolation to bring it to its place of maturity. Or it could even die. So we must not bring something forward that God has not yet brought to its fullness. As we await on God, let God do that. You know, and we need to more and more be listening with our spiritual ears, letting our spirits tune into God. And then as we step out on what other people might think is water. But we step out on the word. Come. Yeah, good, good. Good, good. Praise the Lord. That's good. So, you know, we're not people think you're stepping on water. But we're stepping on that word. Come. 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 Peter walked on that word, come. And the only time he began to sink is when he took his eyes off Jesus. And today there are so many Christians looking at circumstances, hearing circumstances from BBC, ITV, Channel 5 and whatever else there is out there. And yet they're not listening. They're not tuned in with that supernatural ear to the whispers of heaven. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I'll read it from my journal rather than do it from memory. I was waiting on the Lord this afternoon after taking communion. And he came to me. I had my eyes wide open and I could see him. I could see him superimposed over the natural. And he came with eyes like flames of love. And he reached out his hand, palm up like this. And I placed my hand in his. And that's when I realised that I was in a boat. And that he was beckoning me out onto the water. And I put one leg out and my toes touched the water, and the water was wet and rippled, so I took my foot back and the water dripped off my foot. And in what I was seeing, I felt perplexed. And the Lord said to me, the water doesn't become solid. It remains liquid. As you walk on water, it's actually the word that you're walking on. It's the word which is the solid thing beneath your feet. And then peace came in.